Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Teddy.
We can't stop snapping. Brand new card hot off the press. White Widow to talk about brand new OTA with everybody's most angry Hulk getting nerfed and some other very interesting buffs that we'd love to talk about. And then it felt like about the right time to do one of these. Go back to the tier list with the most annoying cards in Snap. You guys are in for a great one. Brad, yeah. How's White Widow treating you? Is this going to be junk meta forever?
Junk meta forever. Let me tell you this. This is not answering the question directly, but yeah. I'm going to put White Widow on the screen
yep.
for the lovely folks watching. But today, I was playing on stream, and I was in Conquest, and I went up against a Silver Surfer Sarah list.
Okay.
That was running an Annihilus package.
Yeah.
It was not running White Widow. It was just running the Annihilus package.
Right.
And I mentioned that to mention the fact that maybe it's time to take a little bit of a look-see at Annihilus, Sentry,
Hood.
And Hood yeah. as a package. Even yeah. though they're one of my favorite things to do in the game, is it like I maybe it's exacerbated a little bit because White Widow just released and people are like, I gotta just send this thing back or whatever.
Fair.
And like it makes it a bit better. So we'll have to see how the dust settles. To answer your question, White Widow is awesome. Great card.
Yes.
I think I hit the nail on the head with her. I said she's pretty narrow in where she goes. You can put her in generic slots for some decks, but I think generically speaking, there are better cards to play instead. But where she fits and where she's a home, I like her a lot.
It's interesting.
She's effectively a 2/6.
That you bring that up. Exactly. The 2/6 is kind of just generally great. Now, obviously,
right.
that -4 is going to, most cases, drop off by the end of the game, or at least if you're playing her on curve. So she is a narrow application onto junk, or at least a junk package in whatever you're running, even if it's you got Sarah Surfer going, you could still run junk here. Man, but junk is good right now, and White Widow's in the list. It's really good at the moment. I have been loving this. I think we peaked at 88 in the world with our deck. Right now, we're still top 100, so it has been good to me. So good to me. I think it shows that the package is fairly healthy because the list is not solved. I run a slightly different flavor than I see other people run. You have the Pro X Cannonball lists. You have Red Hulk Mockingbird lists. People are trying different things with the package, and so I do like that aspect.
Sure. Let's take a look at what the top White Widow lists are according to Untapped. In collection level 6,000 plus, player rank 80 to 100 plus. The top deck in terms of play rate is a bounce version of Annihilus, featuring a Mockingbird as well. I guess they're running debris. That's the whole reason. You have Carnage to clean up some of your rocks. Darkhawk is in here as well with the Korg Rock Slide package and even Black Widow as well.
You got both
Very
Widows.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, that's super fun, right? You have the double Widow synergy or just like the
right.
lore, and then the fact that this Hawk deck used to be paired all the time with the junk, but that was back when Zabu would hold it together.
Right. And then we have the Lockdown version, which is the Professor X Cannonball and Annihilus stuff.
Yeah, that one's really good.
This one's called Junk, but it's the same thing, just it's running a Goblin with Ravona.
Also not bad. Renslayer is going to help the Pro X come out just a little bit faster.
Right.
You've got the Jeff to back
him up. I've actually really
up.
Liked Professor X on top of the Widow's Kiss.
Yes.
Quite a bit.
Pro X has so many applications. In the mirror match, you're able to bake in that negative void. If you're playing more proactively, you get that maximum value off the Kiss. What I've been trying, Brad, is like, can we get Mojo Kiss together? They're like, oh, I want to fill to get rid of the -4.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'd love for you to fill so I get the +6. Maybe,
right.
maybe.
Which at that point, it's better for them to actually try to not fill with the -4 and actually
yep.
just keep it, but play a big card
right.
To overcompensate. This Ravona X deck, I've liked a lot before. I threw in White Widow.
This
I enjoyed it.
this is madness that I'm looking at. What the heck?
So this is a list I played a lot. As you can see, I'm 41 and 38.
This is crazy.
It's fun. So it is Zero, Martyr, Titania for our audio listeners. Havoc, a card you don't see very often.
No.
White Widow, Ravonna, and then Mystique, Black Swan, Atuma, Cold Obsidian, Iron Man, Professor X.
There's so many questions I have. Like, if I was to play this list, I would change it a lot. I'm not the deck builder that Brad is. I would be looking at like Super Giant in here somewhere, or I'd be looking at Iron Lad in here somewhere, and then tweaking some of the other cards. And I would not run Havoc, I'll tell you that.
Well, Havoc is actually pretty sick underneath Professor X.
I'll bet.
Being able to play like, because like if you have Ravonna down, if you don't want to play Professor X on four, you could just play him alongside Havoc.
Yeah, on five.
Also, being able to put Ravonna on two, Black Swan on three, and then your any number of one drops that you have, plus Professor X on four to lock down that lane is great.
Yeah, the tempo burst of a curved out Swan is crazy.
Yeah. So I've liked it a lot. I think it's a lot of fun. As you can see, our stats are okay. We are 41 and 38 in 80 games with one tie, apparently, according to Untappd.
So also, you can just wait for Swan on four, right? If you don't have Renslayer, exactly. And then you get all the ones, even like Titania and Pro X to bake them in.
Yep. We're plus 16 cubes only. That's a 0.20. But keep in mind, the cube rate is a little awkward.
You don't have to defend yourself, Brad. Like, the deck's doing fine.
Right. I'm saying, like, remember, I don't snap on stream. And I mostly played this list on stream. I just don't snap on stream. I don't want people to retreat. And I want to see games through. And I'll stay in games I shouldn't stay in post infinite and lose eight cubers because I'm already infinite. I don't care about climbing. I always hover around 15 to 5,000 is about where I chill, which is apparently still top 10% of the entire game. So I'm perfectly content with where my MMR is.
Yeah, you're doing great.
But I like those a lot. White Widow especially is just a sick card. I'm happy to see her. You raised your eyebrow at me when I said I think there are better two drops that are generically strong if you want to have a generic role. Do you not agree with that? Would you put her in more random decks that don't have much synergy, or like how do you view that?
I might be. I mean, at this point, I'm kind of on the train of like that guy who's running the junk package in Sarah. It's like, okay, I'm actually building 8-card decks because I'm running these four and then whatever else I want to around them. Like, I'm fully on that right now until they nerf them. Like, okay. I feel like I'm losing points. So that's why I said it, really.
Then if you want to include White Widow as now the fourth card to the junk package, I can concede that to you. But what I meant is like her on her own as just a two drop, you looking at like your deck, you don't really need a synergistic two drop, like an armor to protect your one drops or like whatever. And you're looking at like something like Jeff. Can you look at White Widow as just the Jeff card?
No, it's still going to be Jeff and it's still going to be Quake as like your two, I think. Location manipulation or just Jeff.
As you can see, I had a lot of weird successes and not successes with some lists. This one made the rounds a bit. Woody hit number one with this list, which is Hood, Daredevil, Jeff, Maximus, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, Cosmo, Red Guardian, Gladiator, Supergiant, Sentry, Ronin, and Annihilus. I only played it 3 games on stream, but I played it a lot off stream. So it wasn't tracked. I don't like the list, Teddy. I do not like this list. I actually hate it. The lines are interesting. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it is the most clunky deck I've ever piloted. And I sit there and go, and I was telling this to the chat on stream, like, look, I think this is a more of a testament to Woody's gameplay and like game sense and his piloting ability than his deck building. I've seen some banger Woody lists, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But
it could be like a meta pocket that he also like really just capitalized on.
Also, I don't even know what, like, he's ranked number one or was at the time. So I don't even know what kind of meta pocket that even is.
It's all junk. I'll fill you in. It's junk. It's a tiny bit of Loki and then more junk and a little bit of destroy.
Do you not get tired of it?
That's the thing. Like, this is one of the metas that I like, being all junk, and then the decks are pretty different. You're going to see some spicy stuff.
Well, I still think this is a good list. Again, I just think it's... Well, I guess go back to my original point now that we talk about White Widow. Do you think that the Annihilus stuff, like that package, do you think that's a little bit overstat at the moment and needs to get looked at?
Yes, I agree. I think that it does. It's really interesting how you want to adjust, because Annihilus kind of changes the knobs that the developers have to tune stuff. They made Hood go from a -2 to a -3, which mm-hmm. in many cases is a bigger drawback, but then in other cases is actually a bigger benefit. And then, yep. like changing Sentry, he's right on that 10 power threshold. So it's like, does he have to be a 4/8? Does he have to come all the way down to a 4/7, spawning a -7? So the power swings are not as big. But then he's immune to Shang. And you could, like, depending on how close he falls to just under 10, like if they go all the way down to 7, that could be a pretty substantial nerf. But if they just drop him down to 8 or 9, it's like, I just throw him out. You can't Shang him. I do other things to be able to deal with the Void rather than only Annihilus. My deck is now more consistent, so it's all over the place. We'll see. I have faith in Glenn. And just taking points off Annihilus isn't super fun, but that's also a way you could go. Like, if he drops down even 3 points, 5/3.
I was thinking like 5/3, 5/4, you know, is something that's like, I think he'd still be really good as long as Sentry is untouched as a 4/10, giving them a -10.
Yeah.
Because even if you drop, and let's say Niles was a 5/0. Okay.
Okay.
Hypothetically.
Right.
He's still a 20-point swing.
Well, with Sentry. So you say you spend 9 energy to get 10 power on your side, -10 on yours. So that's 920, right. Which is like meh. It's kind of there, but then you're also taking away some of their board space, so you get that extra advantage. And obviously, we don't expect the Nihilus to actually be a 5/0. We think you're going to get a little more return.
I'm just saying numbers from that perspective.
Yeah.
I think their first swing at a Nihilus, I think they'll make him a 5/4, is I think the sweet spot that they'd look at. And then I could see them, as much as I hate it, and I think they hate it too, and I think they're dreading this possibility, do you make the Void half the size of negative? Like, it's a 4/10 that creates a 4/-5.
Make it asymmetrical, which would feel inelegant, but
true.
Could
be that's why I say I hate it. I know Glenn probably hates it too. But Glenn has said before, he's like, look, I want things to be... I love that, you know, top-down design where it's very elegant, it's flavorful and stuff. But he said, I'm willing to sacrifice the flavor if it makes for a better game and a better experience.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I look at Annihilus.
Yeah, if you take the negative power off the Sentry, then you could see it being in a better spot. Because then that high roll of him throwing it is not so insane.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be Glenn. I never want to be a card game designer or a game balancer or whatever.
Yeah.
This is not a job I aspire to have.
But it's way more fun just to break the game someone else is making.
Yeah. But speaking of balances and new stuff, we had an OTA today. This is going to be easy to kind of fly through. We had essentially 3 out of the 5 changes. Oh, no, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 3 out of the 6 changes were power changes. There was 1 cost reduction. Oh, no. 4 out of them were power changes, a cost reduction, and then a slight power change to the ability.
Yep.
So rapid fire. Jane Foster is a 5/8 to a 5/9. Jean Grey, 3/3 to a 3/4. Mantis, a 2/2 to a 1/2. Red Hulk, the big one, from a 6/11 to a 6/9, still very good.
Yeah.
Stature got buffed back to what she was before. She's a 5/7. And US Agent is the same stat lines, but provides -4 in the affliction, just a little bit better than -3. obviously. So I like this. It's fine. I like the little touch-ups here for the little power nudges. Mantis, I think, is still kind of not very good because it's the copy of the card. Like, could you imagine if she stole the card if you call your shot?
You're saying you just straight up get it on your side?
Yeah. Or like, even if it... What if it was just at, like, instead of it coming be on their side, it takes it and adds it to your hand. So they lose it, but you have to still invest energy to play it.
Oh, wow. That's
I don't think she could be a one or a two at that point.
No. You're saying just like thematically, that's the ability, and then stack her differently just to be more interesting, because that's like so insane in the end game. That's kind of like Eliath. Like, just take that card, yoinked.
Then maybe it has to be like...
Now, how about this? Something that, in a way, would... You know how Negasonic destroys the card played? What if Mantis bounced it back to their hand? I've always wanted something that could bounce cards, but basically force my opponent's cards to bounce. And if they could find a way that maybe it's not too oppressive and could be like a mid-game play... I think that could be super fun.
I like that.
And then so it just like gets played, and then she's like, sleep, and then the card like drifts off back to your hand. Yeah.
Oh, that's actually really nice from a flavor perspective too.
Yeah.
Okay. One step further, because I love making broken things.
Yep.
What if she was on reveal, return random card? Or it could be highest or lowest power cost, whatever.
Right.
It might be flavorful to be a big thing, like another way to attack a card like Shang-Chi would.
Yeah.
Returns it to the hand. Can't be played the next turn.
Ooh, interesting. I was going to go like all the way to returns it to hand, but then like gives it a discount. So it's easier to replay or something.
Oh, yeah. I understand is very strong.
Yeah.
But like, I think that's such a cool little effect idea.
Whoa. What about a card that means that your opponent cannot play the card they top decked until the next turn? They all arrive in hand with a sleep. And then the sleep has to lift. So they have a functional one size smaller hand.
Like a summoning sickness type of thing.
Yeah.
But not summoned.
Yeah, in hand.
Okay. There's a card in Warcana that I like.
Yeah.
It's Tiana. And she's a cool card. I just wish she was a bit better. But she is a 4 cost, a 1/4. That doesn't matter. The bottom part is what matters. While this character is exerted, just tap sideways, and you have no cards in your hand, opponents can't play actions. Actions are like your cards that say like banish target thing, or like sweep the board kind of stuff. So like, she's really fun in the late game where you just go like, I'm going to exert, and then I have no cards in hand. Oh, you top deck a sweeper? No, you didn't.
You
like
cannot play.
So that's what that reminds me of, is like something like that.
Right. It'd be fun.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Oh, I would love this. Sounds fun.
Anyway. How fun is this Red Hulk now? You have to talk about him. He's been the premier card since he released. 2 points off his fastball. I like that they took it out of his base power, then out of his energy or out of his ability. It means that the high roll situations where he's getting multiple activations are still there. He can still scale to be insanely good, but it's just if you draw him later in the game, he's not going to be as impactful. What are we thinking?
He still gets to 17 on average.
Very quickly.
19.
Also, Brad is dying here. He's like, it's still an odd number.
Yeah, that I don't like.
Could you have just gone to 8 or 10?
So I'm surprised it didn't go like 8 would be nice, because then one thing brings it back up to like be able to match against the regular Hulk, right? And then
beyond
if he gets
that,
even more angry, he starts to surpass him.
Yeah.
I like that from a flavor perspective.
That's the
then
thing.
Also
it's like
the 12,
you can,
16, 20.
You can almost always get 1, which means you're really looking at a 6, 13.
Right,
and,
which is just slightly better than Hulk.
Right, so, but it just feels like that's still like one of the best 6 cost cards.
I do think I wouldn't be shocked if this isn't the last one. I actually expect this to not be the last adjustment. I think when it's all said and done, we're going to be looking at a Red Hulk that is a 6'9 plus 3.
Really?
12, 15, 18, 21.
You're also looking at it as like it's him versus Blob, right? Whoever's the biggest card gets played.
Right.
And the other one will never get played almost. Like that's basically the dichotomy that we're in. And Blob is mostly 15, sometimes 16, sometimes 17.
Right.
And so Red Hulk on two hits is 17. So it's like they're just on this razor edge of like whoever's the biggest boy is gonna
play. Make them on average the same, because I think of Red Hulk being on average a two hit, right?
Yeah. Right.
So if you make him a 6'15 off two hits, that makes his average the same as Blob's average. And then they both have a little bit of ceiling to go beyond each other.
Right.
So
depending on how you build your deck on what the opponent's able to do.
That I in theory should open up the field, but I know we play TCGs here, you know, that's never how it works. It's always one or the other.
Right.
There's very
and
rarely
Mill
like,
is actually
boss
making Blob
monsters
way worse.
Yeah.
Like it's too bad we didn't get Zemo back when Blob was disgusting.
Right. That would have been actually pretty interesting against the OG Thanos.
Yep.
But yeah, I Red Hulk is still a very good card. You should still play him. If you were on the fence about getting him, and this nerf is like, oh, I don't want to get it, just get him. He's that good.
You can still play him.
He will always be that good. U.S. Agent, so about that one. I guess if you want, I think we can do Stature's faster, right? Stature's 5'7", Black Bolt's happy. I don't think they'll ever change Black Bolt, for those of you wondering.
Going back to 5'8"?
Yeah, I think Black Bolt is forever a 5'7". I don't think
and
they will ever change
5'7", 5'7".
Because Black Bolt, like, this already encourages you to play Black Bolt a bit more anyway, because what else do you play Stature with? They're always tied to the hip, or joined to the hip, whatever. But Black Bolt, you get first. So any reason to encourage someone in Collection 3 to play a card like Black Bolt before you have Stature, a 5'8 is probably good enough reason to do so. I don't think they don't want to encourage him being played that often.
Yeah. And the hand attack kind of game plan seems
it's
to be slowing
good.
Down.
It's not good.
I mean, Black Widow has been nerfed. Spider-Ham has been nerfed. So, like, the full hand attack kind of game plan is not something they want, it seems.
Check out my -9 net cubes on this hand attack deck I was trying
nice.
Out on stream. It was not
hand
good.
Hand attack mill with Wolverine and X-23. Okay. We were cooking.
So, the idea is we were trying to, before we did the mill thing, I was doing something else. I was doing more discard stuff, like Swarm and everything like that. Even Ghost Rider was in here at one point. So, you know, this is all from like different cucks. But the idea was like, hey, I want to play Silver Samurai alongside Black Bolt. And I want to play Moon Knight. I want to actually use this Moon Knight. But I want cards that I don't care about getting discarded. So we had Proxima Midnight in here. We had Wolverine and X-23. Just so like if they get hit, you don't care, but your opponent cares. I think there's something here, Teddy, in this core of like Silver Sam, Stature, Black Bolt, Moon Knight. I think it needs Moon Knight to get a little bit of love, a little bit of a power buff or something, or maybe a bit more targeted discard for both people. Like maybe the leftmost or the rightmost. I don't know. Or it just needs one more card that you care about hitting, like a Wolverine, X-23, or Proxima Midnight. Just like one more of those.
You mean that you care about discarding?
Yeah, that you don't, that you're okay about like hitting with Moon Knight or Silver Sam.
I mean, White Widow for Swarm.
So I did Swarm, and my biggest thing with it is like I wanted to also run, I guess in this particular case, White Widow could be Swarm, but Swarm for some reason felt weird. I don't know.
Okay. Gotcha.
I did. Okay. I tried Swarm with a Ghost Rider once because we did even do like the Iron Man thing with Ghost Rider, like the Jun stuff.
Ghost Rider brings back a swarm.
Yeah.
Oh,
so like I was looking, I'm like, oh, we can do this. And I was like, wait, let me read swarm again. Yep. Copies.
Yeah, it is discarded. Swarm is discarded. It's in the discard pile.
So let's not do that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I cut them together was my thing. So I don't know.
Okay.
But I think there's something in this thing here. But as long as discard is a playable deck in general, this deck isn't very good.
Right. And here's the thing. Discard, they're on the brink of extinction. The Lady Deathstrike and Red Guardian simultaneous updates is like, murdered them.
Yeah. But I do think the meta is wide open. You can play a lot of different stuff.
You're going to have to like start running Cosmo to be able to play a Dracula. Like your turn three is just Cosmo now.
Yeah. That sucks.
It does. Okay, so we got Jane Foster, Jean Grey. This is not the next coming of Jean Grey.
No.
Within Junk, maybe there's something for her, but she's so niche. Still not enough. And then Jane. It's interesting that they gave Jane the power, because I've always liked Jane as a card. She holds down a couple different archetypes. You've got Mr. Negative, and you have the Hammer Bros as Guardian Mayhem. So I guess I like seeing this little power bump up, because neither of those decks are performing super well. She's also in the monkey drop, so I guess maybe just more power to her.
I will say, I wish the Hammer Bros deck was better.
Yeah.
I think the change to Lockjaw hurts that style of deck quite a bit.
Came out just too slow now.
Yeah, that and the only card being able to guarantee you your hammers being Jane is just not good enough. Like, what? It's great when you hit it. I was gonna ask you if there is a card you think, if it gave you just one and it was like a cheaper card.
That's what I was gonna say. Can we make Beta Ray a two cost version? Because then you go 2-3 Cosmo, Jane. You hope to have drawn something, cycled it, Jane it back. Right?
I mean, 2-3 Lockjaw?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you go Beta on 2 if he's the updated to it be
so
cheaper.
What would
then
his
you go
stats
Thor.
Be?
I mean, tiny, I guess.
Because, like,
it would be a 2-2.
Then you got to change Stormbreaker, then, right?
Stormbreaker 0-1, doubles.
So you get a 2-4.
You get a 2-5 because it's free and it has one power on Stormbreaker. And then if you cycle it and double him again for any reason, it's a 2-8. And that's still under Shang.
Okay.
So you get to play him early game and then you go Thor. It's nice that Thor would be the bigger card anyway. And then you go Lockjaw. And by then, hopefully you've drawn Stormbreaker or Mjolnir. And then you go Jane or Wasp, I guess. And then you go Jane and then you go Odin.
See, I would like to see like a one cost that's like draw a zero cost from your deck.
Ah, interesting.
Like on reveal, just get one of them. Because then you could go, if it's a one cost specifically, that might be too good. But for my heart in wanting this, that lets you go turn 5 Wong that card and then get both of them.
Interesting.
Or worst case, you just, if it's like a three cost, let's say, you can at least go do your thing and then turn 5. If you don't have Jane, you can play this thing and get one of the hammers and still have a chance to draw the other hammer. Maybe like,
right.
I just think it needs another way beyond Jane to get the hammers.
Yeah. And you have all of Thor's companions, like thematically speaking, he's got his core group. You could have one of them be a cheaper version of Jane. That's just like, you know, a 3 or 2 cost draws one free card from your deck. Right.
Yeah, I would like that.
Yep.
And then last we have US Agent, the -4.
I also love, what if we made like a one cost that every turn like added a card into your deck, but then when you play them on that, it like merges with the card and it gets like bigger and bigger.
What?
It just like adds free cards to your deck all the time. But then he doesn't kill your board space, because if you play those cards on his location, he just like merges with them.
Okay. I understand vaguely. Okay. I'd have to
see. Scrap it. We've been going too far on the cooking side of card ideas today.
So US Agent is the last change. From minus 3 power affliction for 4, 5, and 6 costs to minus 4 power affliction, still a 2, 3. I had a moment today where I played my Toxic Sarah list. Yeah. And it was great because I went up against Living Tribunal.
Oh, no.
And they had Living Tribunal. They did Wave on 3, Tribunal on 5, on 4, and then they played Iron Man on 5 and Onslaught. I had US, so I had in one turn on 5, because I knew they had priority, I knew what was happening, I went Guardian US Agent in the mid lane on it, sniped the Iron Man that they played, and then gave the Iron Man and the Tribunal negative power. And then when they played the Onslaught, they had, I didn't do that same turn. I did the US Agent first. And then when the Onslaught flipped on 6, that's when I played the US, the Guardian. Anyway.
Wow.
With the Onslaught down, I know the Iron Man was turned off, but the Tribunal with other cards on board, they had zeros. On the entire side. It was great. It was beautiful. It made me so happy.
Net zero for your whole game of Snap. You've made no points.
And you've played 5 cards.
I commend you, sir.
Right. So I think this is impactful. I do think it is. I already thought US Agent was kind of solid. Again, he's the worst card this month, but that doesn't mean he's a bad card. I thought he was pretty okay. Second dinner's like, oh, and by the way, for those of you that are upset that you missed out on your chance to get him or whatever, and they buffed him, all I have to say about that is I understand your frustration. I get it. But this is more of an issue of the way that the game is, I guess, monetized and how they handle card collections as opposed to their balancing decisions. Because I, for one, don't want any card to be, quote unquote, off limits from a nerf or a buff just because it's a newer card. I think exactly right. The opposite. So
yeah, no, you want changes as soon as they have enough data to think they're moving it in the right direction. Here's the thing. If you weren't too interested at 3 power, like, I don't think you're going to be that much more interested at 4.
Exactly.
And there's always new, more interesting toys coming out. So just wait, get them with tokens on some kind of deal, and see what you can scrape together. But yeah, so if you're hitting one opposing card, he's a 2/7 now. If you're hitting 2, he's a 2/11. It's just, you know, acknowledging how hard that is to do, especially in the current meta with how Zabu getting moved back has pulled a lot of 4 costs out of the ecosystem. I would have loved for him to get, instead of this change, have 0 get added to the costs of cards he could affect. 0, 4, 5, and 6 costs. But
why not just give that to Man-Thing then?
That because US Agent sense. Needs the help. Man Thing is fine.
Yeah.
We could give it the Man Thing too. Also, US Agent is a Thunderbolt, and now we have, you know, Thunderbolt. It would be lore friendly.
Sure. Sure. Okay.
Widow's Kiss worse, please.
Okay. Well, that's the update. Side note, before we go into the tier list, I do want to say one thing because I had this random thought as you said it. You said, just get him with tokens on a deal or whatever. Why don't they do deals? Why don't they have like a weekly deal with like, hey, this for this week, this Series 5 card is on sale 50% off.
Brad, why don't they do deals on all the cards they change? If there's an OTA, you go to the shop for the that until too. There's another patch, all the changed cards are in the shop. Because either they got nerfed because they're a hot item anyway and they should be nerfing things so they're still playable, or they got buffed and people maybe didn't grab them. So they're like, oh yeah, I'd love to grab Mantis at a 1 to accelerate my collection. Oh yeah, I'd love to grab Stature and test it out.
Right. Yeah, I get that. Let's do both.
I agree.
I like the idea of just giving a weekly, like,
both and.
You can easily just rotate it. Like, 4 cards a month go on sale. Like, that's just for tokens. And that breathes life into the token economy again.
Yeah, if you're not going to do drops, you got to do something, right? To keep right. people engaged.
Especially if you're only doing one or two drops a year anyway. So,
yeah.
Anyway, all right. On to the tier list. We graciously already put our 20 cards that we find to be annoying. This is a tier list for the most annoying cards in the game. All right. Combination of our opinions and our acknowledgement of the community, you wonderful fine folk.
Yes.
And your
truly empirical data. You've seen us go into Untapped before. You know that we are going to be on this one.
Right. So we have these wonderful tiers. Teddy, I'll leave that to you. What are the tiers for these annoying cards?
Yeah, yeah. So starting us out at the base level, you've got Hangnail category. I'm thinking that we might open up with just moving Cosmo in here. I think we've both talked about maybe needing to buff the best boy.
Yeah.
And he obviously is still insanely annoying when he catches you out or when he's breaking your game plan. But he's not nearly the terror he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
How are we feeling about this?
Yeah, I think that's perfectly reasonable. It's just one of those things where like Cosmo pops up. They have priority and you're trying to like do something special with your on reveal and they hit you with the Cosmo and you're like, no, like yeah. it's an annoyance for sure. But it's not like I never look at Cosmo on the other side of the board when I see it coming. I never go like, oh, that damn Cosmo. Like,
yeah, get upset like exactly. That. And there's still the times where like they do it and you're like, oh, well now I'll play my Sentry or my Gladiators, right. You know, stuff like this. So yeah. That's why we're tempering things a little bit.
And it's a rolling hang, into a hang
what?
And that's why it's a hangnail.
Yeah, yeah. In the wet socks category,
Are we just starting off like to kind of give a definitive idea of each category by giving one in each one as we introduce them? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. Okay. I feel like that's how we roll. High Evo contender for wet socks.
High Evo. I was thinking Scorpion was the wet sock.
Okay, let's do that. Let's do that.
Maybe High Evo goes there later, but I think Scorpion is the best idea of like, just, I think it's perfect, right? You accidentally step in a puddle a little too deep. Your socks get wet.
It's the exact same feeling. I lost that one power.
It's the exact same feeling of when they flip up a turn two Scorpion. You're like, all right, I'm not a fan.
And the 1-2 is Iceman. Iceman screaming baby category here.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Perfectly. Yeah. Cause you're staring at the card. Like you see it flip up and you're like, don't hit that.
Right.
Bam. And then
your curve
turn
is thrown
two
off.
Around and it's the ice box. And you're like, why?
Right, because you're like, well, I might still just play it even though it's more expensive. And then it's like, Scorp. And you're like, oh, I won't.
It's worse in every way.
It is. Get something better to do with your life. What's the line? Didn't you get hit with a tweet?
Get chatter? A life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time someone plays the 1-2 Iceman Scorpion, you just say, get a life.
So the last one is chewing with your mouth open.
And you guys know we're very selective on the upper echelons of our tier lists. So we might save that one for something special.
I think are there more than one entry in chewing with your mouth open?
We've got a couple true contenders here.
I'd like to offer up one for it right now. I'd like to offer up Hella. As the chewing with your mouth open.
Yes.
Because there's nothing worse than sitting there going like, well, I'm really far ahead in every single lane turn six.
But they've discarded a couple random things. Yeah. So
if they have Hella, there's a chance that, yes, they get the Infinaut back and the Red Hulk.
Right.
But if they get them
both. But they played MODOK and they're top decking out of three cards.
Right. And A, they have to have Hell, and B, they have to have the cards go in the right spots. So mathematically speaking, I'm not supposed to retreat here.
Yeah, I should stay.
And then Hella flips and they just get a perfect spread of like 40 power each lane. You're like, okay, well, I deserve that, I guess.
Egg on my face.
So I cannot stand.
And then you're like, well, maybe I should play Hella because I just have to hit Infinite. I only have four ranks to go. Tilt. Either she's never drawn, she's too shy, or she's in the opening hand and you never get anything discarded, or she clumps the cards. The cards suddenly become super friendly and they do a group hug in the mid lane. Brad.
Yep.
They're doing a therapy session over here and I'm losing my other lanes.
It's not fun. I think this is a great way to start it off. You have two involved opens hella. Screaming Baby on any public location is Iceman. Right. Wet Socks is Scorpion. And then Hangnail is Cosmo. All right, let's start it in this, I guess, randomized order we have. Hazmat.
Super annoying, I think actually partly because of one of the other cards that we might talk about a little bit later. Mm-hmm. So Hazmat herself, I'm going to put down at Hangnail. It is very frustrating because the only response you have, well, technically you have Shadow King, but really the only response you have is Luke Cage, right, who's very niche.
I agree. I see her flip up and I'm like, could be worse. Yeah. Isn't it weird that, because I'm in agreement with you, but isn't it weird that we view Hazmat as a Hangnail that can effectively hit way more cards than Scorpion? Who?
It's because they're graded on annoyance, not on power.
Right. No, you're right. Like Scorpion's like, you know, at best a 2/9. Hazmat at best is like a 2/200.
Sure. But somehow Scorpion manages to be more annoying. Right. And Iceman over here at a 1/2. Like he's the worst.
Well, it's the fact that it's in your hand. Like it's the sacred place.
Yeah.
You can't touch my sacred place.
You weren't supposed to affect me over here. What happens on the board happens on the board. Like, Hazmat's playing fair there. That's probably what it is.
All right, so...
Green Goblin.
I'm almost thinking Hangnail as well. Maybe Wet Socks. I think
It's the Space Throne and Sinister London.
And Bar Sinister.
Those three. Yeah, Bar Sinister truly is the...
So I think Wet Socks is appropriate.
Yeah.
Because I think the ceiling is Wet Socks. The floor is like, all right. Celine giving you a -6 also could be annoying. By the way, you may notice, dear viewers, no Hobgoblin on this list. That's because Hobgoblin is a 5, and it's kind of your fault if he lands on your side of the board.
Yeah, is that moment where the junk Galactus goes off is super sucky, but it's just so inconsistent and also so far out of the metagame. We didn't really bring it up.
Yeah, same thing with Galactus, just because it's like, again, if you lose to Galactus, a little bit your fault in his current state.
Wow, well, Brad, just coming at our viewers. Don't take Brad to heart. The card
But... I'm providing our viewers and listeners a opportunity to reflect inward and understand where they can improve in the game, which is...
You lost to Galactus? Look inward.
I mean, at this point, old Galactus, 6/2 Galactus, even 6/3 Galactus.
Right, no, that was just... like, you couldn't really interact with it. But now you can.
Now
you
it's can. Very telegraphed.
What you can't interact with is Black Knight. And man, when they flip Black Knight, it's obviously the Ebony Blade that he's spawning we're really frustrated about. I'm very annoyed when I see an early game.
So I'm guessing he's a Screaming Baby for you?
Yeah, probably. Because you know Blade and then Infinaut comes out and you're like, well, I just can't.
Even if I was running Electra, like by the time my Electra lands... or my Killmonger lands, for that instance, they've already had priority. They already get the discard, and they're good. Even I will say, the only times in which Black Knight, I kind of go like, oh, okay, is when they play Black Knight on 1, and I see that Black Cat discard from their hand. I was like, that's not that bad.
Sure, I'll play this.
That's fine.
If only it could always do something like that, then it'd be a card game.
Next is Juggernaut. Juggernaut's an interesting one because I think it's also because it's fallen out of favor so much that you don't expect it and you're like, oh, I'm gonna slam this Darkhawk or whatever. I guess not Darkhawk anymore because he's a 5, but like something on Kiln or on the vault, like, oh, I'm gonna, or a Stormlane, for example. Like, how far have we fallen?
This is for you early pool players, guys. We know the feeling. We were there too, where they go Storm and then Jug.
I do, but with all that being said, I think Hangnail is appropriate.
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of like, oh, you're playing Jug. All right, then.
Yeah, because there's still moments where raw stats, you're able to come right back. So.
Okay. you are more than welcome to reel me in. Okay. You have full permission. Okay. And I apologize. I'm using my one PG-13 F-bomb. Fuck Magneto. Okay. Chewing with her mouth open.
Magneto will get you.
This card. I said it before. The worst thing Blob ever did for the community in this game was convincing people back to play Magneto again.
I've had plenty of situations where I'm looking at it, I'm like, always wins. If they try this, I got it. And then, oh, Magneto. Oh, yeah. I got the right cards and it's out. Also, very annoying when you're playing Magneto because he's one of the few true random pulls rather than play order.
Right.
So there's no way to really plan out his effect. He's just going to, you know, rearrange off of what he has available. I probably wouldn't keep him chewing with your mouth open. I move him to Screaming Baby, but we can leave him up there.
Okay. Depending on how it shakes out the end of the list, I'm happy to move him down a peg if it makes the list look cleaner. But God, I hate Magneto so much.
How about Annihilus? This is just the current meta menace flavor. But he has always had that extra annoyance flavor because he's taking away your board space.
So
he's not just making points on his side of the board. He's giving you his detritus.
Right. When we were talking about what cards we put on the list earlier, yeah. I put Annihilus because I felt like this was like my community pick, right? I think the community as a whole is probably like sometimes a little annoying. Personally, for me, he's a hangnail.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's low, but for me, I'm just like, look, I also like playing Annihilus. I like the card a lot. And I acknowledge like, hey, it's kind of easy to see it coming.
That's my thought is because you can fill up your side.
Right.
You can play around it and it's very telegraphed. It's not just like, oh, they play Magneto. That's why would you play Magneto in that position? There's never that.
Exactly.
Oh, you play Annihilus. There's always like, I knew you could.
So yeah, that's where I'm like, it's a hangnail for me. If you are a person that finds Annihilus to be in Wet Sox, Screaming Baby, or even chewing your mouth open, I completely understand your point.
Right.
I do. Yeah. I get it. I just think the fact that you can stop it, or at least kind of play around it a bit better, is where I'm like, you know, it's fine. I will say though, like we talked about earlier, maybe a bit too much power. Maybe we need a little bit of adjustment there. But that doesn't make
We're looking at the old stat line. There was a 5-7 version at one point, guys. So yeah, we already talked about we could see him getting nerfed.
Yeah.
And then I think he'll come off.
Yep. And this
Teenage Warhead.
This is your inclusion when I mentioned Juggernaut. So I'm going to let you take the reins on this one.
Probably move her up into Wet Socks. There's just, you know, it's also that vault position. Anything with the location that's drawing in the attention. The surprise gotcha off of initiative doesn't happen all that often. Though sometimes there is that moment where like, they got me and I played my good card first and then like a sucky card after. And like, if I'd flipped it, I could have gotten it. So just a very versatile card, very good. And then with the destruction to screw up your game plan.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I can agree with Wet Socks. I do think like even when it flips up and it's not the one like, oh, it's like the gotcha moment. It's like it flips up a turn earlier, like on 5, and you have to stare at it on 6. And you're like, how do I play around you?
And is it worth it? And if I play around it, are they going to answer? I got to think.
Yeah.
Think.
So, and you know, no one likes getting their stuff destroyed. So,
exactly.
Then we have Wong, and we both agreed why he's on the list.
Yeah.
You think of like all the stuff Wong can do. It can be the junk stuff. It can be the hazmat stuff. It can be the Gambit stuff, which he's on the list. We'll talk about later. For me, he's almost Screaming Baby for me.
I was going to put him all the way up there. When I see them flip Wong, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
What are we doing? Because he's such a binary question. If it's like, do I have the couple control cards that completely shut him down or do I not? Because if I don't, he's going to win. He's just going to high roll whatever I can put up with almost any combination that someone's leaning into this.
Especially though, with like the very simple combo of Wong, Black Panther, Zola. It's like,
yes,
okay, I don't have my answer card and I know what's coming and I'm powerless to stop it.
Yeah.
So that sucks. Also, funnily enough, Wong kind of is a screaming baby. He's just announcing his presence the second he flips up and you're like, oh my God, I gotta deal with this.
With at least with the new Lady Deathstrike and Red Guardian, there's like some good tools to shutting it down. And then when they go even farther with the Mystique, you're still prepared to shut it down. So
So that's where it's nice, because before it's like, okay, am I gonna play old Lady Deathstrike, which no one played, or am I gonna play Enchantress, which doesn't see playing a whole lot of decks, maybe in like a Sarah control list. Now, with new Lady's Deathstrike and new Red Guardian, those are both generically strong enough at this point to just be in a deck where you're like, oh, I have the answer. But when you don't have the answer, it hurts.
Yeah. It's that one time you're sitting in class and then the teacher's asking on stuff and you're like, I know it.
Yeah.
It's Deathstrike.
Yep. Next, we have Baron Zemo. You could sub this out for any baby of them, Baron Zemo or Yondu or Cable. But Baron Zemo just is the heart and soul of Mill.
Yeah.
I would say Wet Socks.
Same.
Kind of. It's like, all right, you got my card.
The full Mill experience is
Screaming Baby.
Screaming Baby or chewing with your mouth open.
Yeah.
But I think in its average experience, it is annoying.
Yeah. Yondu into Cable, into Zemo, into like, you know, Absorbing Man, right?
Right.
If they have that curve, you're like, not really. And then Doc Ock to seal it all up. That's, it's not really great. Kind of hurts my feelings.
The very worst ones has always been like, oh, your Zemo got my Zemo and that I don't get any Zemo and you got something else as well, or and on from there.
So I'm moving these two up the list because they're relevant to the last two cards we talked about. Doc to talk about Zemo, and then Gambit to talk about Wong. So let's start with
Doc Ock is one of the most annoying guys, because when you play him, he's never effective. But when the opponent plays him, you're always locked out.
So where do you put him? Screaming Baby or chewing with your mouth open? Is he that annoying?
Probably Screaming Baby.
Okay. Where? Like, is he more annoying than Black Knight? More annoying than Iceman?
He's more annoying than... Oh, interesting. I would put Wong at the head of the list. At the head of the tier, and I'd probably put Iceman up. Iceman's there we go.
Cool. Doc Ock is annoying, especially in the context of the Mill deck, where they get rid of your entire deck and then they extend the game with magic and then they yoink everything down from your hand, and then they have turn 6 and 7 to be like, hey, nice empty hand and deck. I have all the information. That's where I'm a little annoyed by Doc Ock. That's where it's like, and they can even, Doc Ock now in that Mill deck especially, can pull Shang-Chi to kill the Doc Ock, and you're there, and it's still like, don't care.
Still okay.
It's like, I can still win. I got Red Hulk in hand. I got Gladiator.
Yeah. When you're not playing cards, turns out you're not curving out your energy, and my Red Hulk is moving up.
He's a big boy. Next is Gambit with that Wong. I would say Wet Socks.
Really? Okay.
I would like.
I do not like Gambit.
So I'm trying to think of contextually with all the other stuff. I think it's the top of Wet Socks. I think in conjunction with Wong, it's right there with Scream Baby. But if it's just the Gambit and you're like, it's like, it kind of just takes your breath away for a moment in like the worst way. It's just that big
sigh. That moment where it's like, don't hit this, don't hit this, don't hit it. The animation is so long. And then it's like, I'd hit it.
Yeah. And the worst thing is, I think, you know what I think is worse than the turn 6 Gambit of like the Russian roulette of like, please don't hit my things, please hit my things. It's the on curve turn 3 Gambit you didn't expect, where you only have like Renslayer one or two cards or on the board anyway. And you're like, those are kind of important to my game plan moving forward.
Right.
And it's just Like,
I'm setting up a couple
Luke
pieces.
Luke Cage, if I'm playing control, Luke Cage on three, Gambit flips up. Nice Luke Cage. Bye.
Yeah. Like, Angela? No.
Not allowed. Not in these parts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where, like, that's my worst moment of Gambit. But you kind of can truck through a bit. You know, you can kind of push through the pain.
It's just one random card. So.
Yeah. You know what's not just one random card? Loki.
It's Loki.
You get a full hand.
And they're not quite random. You get to know what they're going to hit you with.
So, for me, this is hot take. I actually have him on hang now. For me.
Wow.
For me. He doesn't bother me nearly that much. But
do you play a lot of Mobius M. Mobius?
I used to. Like, even if I'm playing like an Annihilus deck, which is like the best thing Loki can steal, right? I'm just like,
yeah.
They get it. They get it. You know, it's but they have
to bring it on.
I've seen so many Loki players misplay with my cards where I'm just like, I'm not too afraid of you. I understand the skills.
Those are some of my favorite moments where, like, they Loki and then they make a mistake with the card play. Like, you don't play that card normally, but I do.
You don't know the deck. See, Loki is a card that gets better as you get better with the game and as you get more familiar with different decks. I don't think the average person fits that bill. Therefore, Loki doesn't scare me as much. However, community sentiment, if I were to ask like Reddit or Discord, I guarantee you would be up here.
It'd be towards the very top. Because here's the thing. There's going to be games where they do basically nothing through turn four, flip Loki, and then come back and win. And it's like, how?
Right.
But it happens.
Also, I mean, especially with the lack of the collector thing now, like that being gone, that interaction.
That helped a lot.
It's not nearly as like, oh, they had the Loki for turn six and that collector just grew by seven.
Yeah.
So where would you put him personally for you?
Wet Sox? Yeah. I play a lot of junk right now. I do not like playing against him.
Okay. I will happily put Loki and Wet Sox for you. But the bottom. Know your place.
Okay. Fair.
Shang-Chi.
This is at the top, right?
So it's interesting. And it's a question I've asked.
His warped play around himself so much that we're like, what? I was going to say inebriated with it. We're used to it.
Right. I asked Glenn about this.
Yeah.
I am not allowed, because of the NDA thing, I'm not allowed to say what he said because it wasn't said on a public forum. But I can at least say what the question was that I asked. It was a long question about like three, it was like a three-part question about the feels bad idea of cards in the game and like where does a card toe the line of like a feels bad versus integral to the game where like, because you look at things like Professor X and Eliath and like Leech and, you know, Leader even, like a lot of, or Sandman, like these cards that have like have valves to them where like they're important, but they also can make people unhappy with the game. And your biggest part of the playing a game is to enjoy it. So where's that line? And then another question was, does the singleton aspect of cards and the nature of Marvel Snap kind of heighten certain feels bad ideas? Like Shang-Chi, where you look at a card like Maxi from Yu-Gi-Oh, which is basically a card that said, I draw many cards when you play cards. And it was at one. It was limited. When you could play three copies of card per deck in Yu-Gi-Oh, you could play only one copy of Maxi. So it kind of made the environment in which that meta, where Maxi was limited to one, it's like, oh, do you have Maxi? If player A has Maxi and player B doesn't, player A is at a huge advantage, and the game feels very swingy by nature because it's the one of that they have. Shang-Chi feels like that. It's like the only card that does what he does. Because like you could say, even though there's a singleton aspect, there are cards that kind of like do things in other ways. Like we talk about Wong, right?
Or if you talk about, there's a lot of ways to repeat activations. There's a lot of ways to manipulate locations.
Right.
You pick your flavor. But with Shang, it's Shang.
It's just him. So, like, do you think that the singleton aspect of Shang is a little bit of, like, a weight, I suppose, on the meta. And I don't know how to put it. Maybe not the
meta. I mean,
meta.
I do 100%. Like, I keep on wanting to see adaptations come in that would encourage more Shadow King and more Valkyrie. Those are like our two closest. And if they could come up in play rate to make it so that you would question whether or not you want to run Shang in your deck. And honestly, Cannonball now is doing fairly successfully within like his niche decks. A good job at taking that space. So it can be done. It's just a matter of balancing the other cards in a spot where it's worth it.
But yeah, so I get it. Shang-Chi is like, it just, do they have it? Well, they had it.
Right, but it's also like even annoying at the point of like I'm building a deck and like, oh, I gotta run
that
Shang.
Too.
Like, so yeah.
Anyway, Professor X. Speaking of,
he's also up at the top, man. Is it very top or is it Screaming Baby?
I would put him in Screaming Baby.
It's probably because I've been playing so much junk, and I will like I hate the Pro X catches. So
yeah, where they just snag your Void.
Yeah, exactly.
And can't move. So yeah, that's unfortunate. But yeah, Professor X is fallen out of favor a bit, but then he's back again with the lockdown variation of Cannonball and stuff.
Very good.
It's a card that doesn't bother me too much, but like when it gets you, it gets you. Because not one that I keep at the forefront of my mind very often.
No, like I think he's balanced. I don't want to see changes. I just think he's really annoying. Right. Also, you know for sure that when, what is it, the project, the one that gives you extra energy?
Project
it's like,
Pegasus.
Oh, they got Pro X. Where are they going to play it?
Yeah,
yeah, Pegasus. It's like it's either Infinite or it's Pro X. So where is he going?
And another card that they could play early, Project Pegasus, that could provide a wonderful headache is Vision. This was one of my inclusions.
It's a squirrely
it's
one.
It's a weird one because I find Vision annoying. For the most part, because it creates frustration for me. I'll sit here and map out when they play Vision of Five. I'll map out perfectly. If I was them, what would I do with this Vision? And I talk through the entire thing on stream. I go over all the options, and then I go over my options. And I'm like, okay, their best play is this, so I'm going to do this. And then they move the Vision to a spot that makes zero sense. Or they don't move them at all. And then on top of that, they play Magneto to move my stuff. And I'm just like, I went through all that and you made, in my opinion, a bad play because I was expecting you to make a good play.
I played around
the good play. Yeah. It's like when you play like a shooter, like Rainbow Six Siege or like any game where like there's map knowledge.
You're not supposed to be here.
Why are you here? Like the objective is over there. Why are you here?
Right.
That's that kind of thing. So that for me, I would put him. I mean, it is a hangnail for the most part. I think it is a pretty low annoyance.
Yeah,
but he's an annoyance nonetheless.
For sure.
All right. So next,
High Evo.
Yep.
Whole slate of cards. Everything that High Evo touches is actually pretty annoying. We particularly said that Cyclops and the Thing. The ones that are taking away your power, especially Cyclops for me, because it's like every turn just pew, 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 pew. That sucks. Just feels really annoying.
Yeah, but you can play around Cyclops. For me with Ivo, I think the Thing I find to be a bit more annoying because it's like I can't play around the Thing. I establish a board state and they're like, ooh, yummy. And they just drop the Thing on it and afflict me for a bunch. So,
Wet Sox?
I think Wet Sox. Yeah.
Yeah.
I put him right above Scorpion, not above Gambit. Sandman.
Over to Sandman. Is he Screaming Baby? I mean, like, the decks that he catches, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And this new tempo Sandman on reveal thing that they're trying out, interesting. I've seen a lot of people messing around with it. I do like it. I mean, it's giving you more power. It keeps you in the game more. You know, outside of the control aspects.
Yeah. I think shutting down certain decks can be really frustrating, especially when you're like, because of the way he is now, where now he's just more priority driven than like synergistically driven.
Yeah.
He might show up in decks you don't expect. So you're trying to set up for a great turn six, and then turn five, they're like, Sandman. You're like, what?
why did you play this? Well, because I'm going to play Dr. Doom, or I'm going to play Red Hulk, because I didn't have anything better to do with my six cost.
Or Leader.
Yeah.
So, that's a little annoying. So, yeah, I think Scream Baby's perfectly fine.
Okay.
And for the last one, I think we saved the most interesting entry for last, because as we discussed this, because Teddy, you proposed, like, hey, shouldn't there be something from Destroy in this?
I think there should.
And after we were kind of talking about it, I was like, X-23 is really annoying in this one particular, like a happenstance. Way. It's when there's a location like the Space Throne.
Yeah.
And you sit there and watch, like, Homelander in that theater as they blow up X-23 on turns two, on turns three, on turns four. And you're like, why won't this hit the throne room? Why will it not drop on the... You could say the same thing about Wolverine, but X-23 has more things to hit it, like even Killmonger. You could even play Killmonger yourself and like, hey, I'll give you the extra energy, but I want this to hit the throne room. And it doesn't. Like five destroys. Yep. And you're like, what is... Why? Why?
Then they get it on turn five and they hit you with the null plus anything, and it's over. Yeah.
So with all that being said, what sucks?
Ooh.
I think I'm annoyed enough at the lack of hitting throne room, space throne. Yeah. Not throne room. She'd be awful in throne room. Well, actually, she is an extra power for Venom, so throne room is actually good. Sure. Whatever.
That's fine.
What sucks?
Yeah, I feel like the Destroy deck, I mean, it's fallen out of favor a little bit in the current meta, and then, like, you do technically have answers. It's one of those situations where they've given you valves of, like, oh, I could choose to play these control cards and catch them out. And, hey, if you can catch X-23 underneath armor, you basically win. If you catch X-23 with a Red Guardian, you basically win. So, like, you got the plus side to kind of balance it out.
Yeah. Look at that.
There's the list. Did we miss a super annoying card, or did we rank one of these completely wrong? You'll have to let us know down in the comments below. And tune in next time. We're going to keep the tier list going. We've got a spicy one. We won't spoil it.
But, okay, I was about to ask you. You want to tell them what it is? I guess we're going to wait.
Do you?
It's up to you.
Brad coming out with the spoilers?
It's up to you. I don't know.
Let's keep them guessing.
Right. We got another tier list next week. And then, you know what? To close out today's wonderful program, Teddy, let's look ahead to the last card of the month, Valentina. For those of you...
She's fascinating.
Yeah, for those of you that
need... 2-3 on reveal, add a random 6-cost card to your hand, give it -2, -2 cost, and -3 power. Now, you know, random 6-costs, Brad, sometimes, I mean, I feel like all the time, the raft is screwing me. So it's really hard to quantify the value here. Obviously, the discount is amazing.
Yeah, so the discount's really good. She's going to be very good in Loki specifically, but I think she might have legs to make the Quinjet's shield deck kind of function. My biggest thing about her being great in Loki is very simple. You either get a 6-drop that you're happy to play instead of Loki, or if you have Quinjet down even before Loki on 3, or it's one that's not very impactful or just a bad hit, like an Ultron or something. And you're like, cool, fodder for Loki. So
yeah,
that alone, in my opinion, ranks her pretty high as far as cards go. But just a 4-cost, you know, 6-drop. And what's great about it being her being a 2-3 is if it's Infinite, you can skip 3 and then play a 4-17. So.
Or if you get Quinjet down, then you can just go straight into that sucker.
Well, not Infinite, because you have to skip a turn.
Well, not Infinite specifically, but the 6-cost card can be played on turn 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So has a really high ceiling.
You can also do tricks with Nico if you get the duplicate, if you really like it. It's some fun stuff. Moon Girl, again, if you really like it. Yeah.
There can be some scary stuff.
Moon Girl gets very greedy, but that could be crazy.
Yeah, imagine if you get and there might be some instances where you get a 6-drop that's where the power loss is actually okay.
Oh yeah,
like
Magneto, not Shangela,
right? Or even Moon Girl, not Moon Girl. I'm sorry, She-Hulk.
Yeah,
if you're doing the Moon Girl thing,
right?
I don't know, like, because you have to think about like the trade-off, like a 4-9 Magneto,
right,
would be a playable
move
card.
Stuff around,
in my opinion.
Yeah, no, that's great. Anytime you play Magneto early, like we talked about how annoying he is, Magneto on 6, not really as bad as Magneto on 5. When you see stuff and you're closing off a lane, that's where it's lights
4-2 Dr. Doom, give you bots.
Yeah, the Doom bots are fine.
Red Hulk, one hit, he's scaling, back, man, above where he was.
Yep.
So
normal Hulk, I don't know.
He's still a 4-9. Yeah, 4-9.
It's a 4-9.
That's fine.
That's fine.
That's perfectly
fine.
You
could just play Luke Cage and get the power back, too.
That's also true. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
And the opponent could just play Mobius and you'll never get the discount and not want to play it. So, that's why you played in Loki, right?
Right. But if you have...
Get another use.
If you have turn one Quinjet, turn two this, Mobius is not coming down fast enough to stop it. So...
No, they still got your play.
There's that. So, yeah.
Can't wait to get my hands on this girl.
I'm excited for this. But, yeah.
Obviously, she helps Mockingbird as well.
Oh, that too.
Yeah.
But that's going to do it for us this week. Remember, everybody, to go check out new episodes over on the YouTube channel. If you're not watching this already, go give that a sub. That'd be very much appreciated. And if you want to see these episodes early, as well as bonus content, you can go to patreon.com/can'tstopsnapping, link in the description down below. And of course, we have a new bonus episode that's actually up on the Patreon right now. It is a new episode of Backseat Gaming, will be coming out next week to YouTube. So again, another reason to go on and sub to the YouTube channel. All bonus episodes from Patreon do come over to YouTube once it's all said and done. But if you want to learn how to play Bounce, it's up there right now on Patreon. You can definitely check that out. Teddy and I,
it was one of my most fun times, right, recording a collab video. That was amazing.
It went we won't spoil anything, but it went really well. It was a great video, great fun.
Yeah,
maybe you have a reason to play Bounce again. But yeah, that's gonna do it with us today. Thank you guys again for your support. We appreciate you. And Teddy, send us out.
Remember, guys, don't stop snapping.
Bye, everybody.
Can't Stop Snapping is a podcast hosted and produced by Brad Seffert and Teddy Ninja, originally created by Michael Thurman.